Tonight, we're going to continue our study on prayer. Hallelujah. Rekindling the fire through prayer tonight. Tonight, we're going to be talking about united vocal prayer, praying together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And our scripture comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 14. And I'm going to give it to you in three different translations. First, from the New Living, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Hallelujah. And in Acts, in the Passion Translation, it says, all of them were united in prayer, gripped with one passion, interceding day and night. And in the Message, it says, they agreed they were in this for good. Their mind was made up. They're in it for good. Completely together in prayer, the women included. Also, Jesus' mother, Mary, and his brothers. Well, I picked these translations because they kept saying the women were included. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as I was seeking the Lord about prayer, and I came up when he gave me the united prayer, there is so much involved in united prayer or vocal prayer that sometimes we don't realize the dynamics behind it and what power there is when a group of people come together to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, here at TWCC, we have corporate prayer on Thursdays, and we have pre-service prayer before every service. And you know, a lot of times we can get in that mindset, well, I'm only going to go to prayer because I'm serving. But oh, prayer is so much more than that. Amen. It is so much more than that. So the first thing I start, why pray? Well, we know why we pray. We are communicating with God, right? We're communicating with God. And we're talking to him on a daily basis. But prayer goes a little bit further than that. In Isaiah 56, verse 7, and I'm reading this out of the King James Version, and yes, I'm jumping through translations. It says, even them will I bring my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Now, that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it states in Matthew 21:13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Amen? So right there, we've got two scriptures from there that says we've been called to pray. But our very own pastor, Pastor Ed, has told us from time and time again that we are called to pray. TWCC is called to pray. We are a house of prayer. That is our mandate. Now, under the Old Testament, God's house was a building. It was a temple built in his honor. But today we are under a new and better covenant. God no longer lives in that temple of stone. He inhabits the spirits of born again men and women. Amen. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? We are the temple of God. God dwells on the inside of us. So we have a mandate to pray. But pray how, Pastor Cynthia? You might say, pray. I love praying by myself. You know, Miss Lynette told us that. She said she used to love just praying by herself until the Lord got on her and told her, you know, how are other people going to learn how to pray if you don't show them how to pray? But, you know, sometimes we want to be quiet, meek, and, oh, just I don't want to disturb anybody, pray. Sometimes that's good, but there's sometimes when you know that you need to stomp on the devil's head and you need to make yourself known. Like when you walk into a door and say, I'm here. Hallelujah. You know, John Wesley made this statement. It seems God is limited by our prayer life, that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks. Now, if you ask the people in my home, well, it's not my church anymore, but the church that I used to attend when I was a little girl back in Arkansas, they will tell you that God can do anything. And he can. He can do anything if we ask him to. And you know, a lot of times I see them on Facebook these days, and they be going through a struggle, but they say, God's got it. But I never heard them pray once about it, but God's got it. God knows about it, but God doesn't have it until we get him to intervene on our behalf. Now, John Wesley made this statement because of what occurred in Genesis 1. You guys know the story. God made the heavens and the earth. He turned it over to Adam and Eve. He gave them dominion over it, right? He gave man dominion over all the works and over all the earth and over all the works of his hands. Therefore, Adam had dominion on the earth. God didn't say, I'm going to make the earth and make everything and then dominate it through Adam. No, he didn't say that. He gave Adam and Eve dominion over everything in the earth. Adam was originally, in a sense, the God of this world. But Satan came, you know how sneaky he is, he came along and he lied to Adam. And Adam committed high treason and he sold out to Satan. Then Satan became the God of this world. You know, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the word of God says that Satan is the God of this world. And as such, he has dominion. Where? In this world. So God cannot legally or justly move in and take away that dominion from the devil. The devil has dominion here. He has a legal right because he has Adam's lease. God cannot do anything unless somebody down here gives him access. We must pray. Call for prayer. You know, as I was studying throughout, I kept looking at throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, and there were so many examples of men and women having powerful individual prayer. You know, we saw Abraham praying and interceding to stop judgment. And we saw Isaiah pray to hold back the rain for 3 years and then to release it again. And we saw Daniel praying, you know, for understanding and how the prayer was held back because the angels were held back because they were fighting the prince of Persia to make it to him to give him an answer. And even in the book of Esther, we see where there was a call to prayer that changed a nation. A nation was going to be annihilated. But they came together and they fasted and they prayed and it changed the course of history. So if we know that we can do tremendous things individually, how much more can we do it together? Look at the Tower of Babel. The people came together and they were going to build this tower up to heaven. And they were united together. They were all speaking one language. Their heart and their mind was set on building that up to heaven. And God said, let us go down and confound their language because whatever they have set their mind to, they are going to accomplish because they are united together. Hallelujah. So why united vocal prayer? And notice I said vocal because you got to say something. You know, In elementary school, we were always taught to read silently, right? At home, you learned to read aloud, but when you came to the kindergarten, they said you had to read with your eyes. And we had to relearn that because we were taught you got to read the word out loud so you can hear it yourself, right? And even some churches, like there was a church next door to where I lived in college, and it was a Presbyterian church. And Presbyterian churches are kind of quiet. Only the preacher really does all the talking. And so you can't really say hallelujah, praise the Lord, or anything like that. So when I started attending, I didn't know you couldn't say that. So I said hallelujah, praise the Lord. But only the man of God was the one praying. Everybody else bowed their head in silence. You know, some things we've got to unlearn in order to learn the things that God needs us to learn so that we can accomplish his will. And one of those things is praying together and being vocal about it. Yes, God understands our thoughts and what's in our heart, the contents of our heart. But he also said that we have to ask. And ask mean that the words have to come out of your mouth. That always reminds me of the man saying, can you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Now, when we unite together and have prayer, you know, the old saints used to call it a prayer meeting. And we call it corporate prayer, but it's united prayer. Do you guys remember the Azusa Street and what happened when they prayed? Miracles happened. They were there for one thing. They were there trying to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But signs and wonders happened in that place. I mean, I heard tales of people used to think that the building was on fire. Hallelujah. We need to see that here. Amen. Hallelujah. But united vocal prayer is the New Testament pattern of praying. And we see that quite a lot all throughout the book of Acts. They came together and they prayed. Now, what's united? All you need is two. And you're united together. You just got to be in agreement. And, you know, when they came together, they prayed. They had a specific thing that they were praying for. And they were united together. They were gathered together to do it. The second thing, two miraculous things happen when we pray together. Matthew 18:19 says, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. So that's one. God will do what you ask. For where two or three gather together as followers, I am among you. Number two, God's on the scene. Hallelujah. And number three is going to come from Deuteronomy 32:30. It says one person can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Now imagine that if one can put, you know, 1,000 bad people or demons or whatever to flight, and two can put 10,000. Think about it in this context. You know, we have angels, right? And I've always been taught we have at least two. So if I have two and Pastor Ed has two, that's four angels on our behalf. And then we add Brother Steve, that's six. And then we add Sister Frances, that's eight, right? And then on and on and on. And look at all that. We have the forces of heaven backing up our word because it comes from the word of God. Hallelujah. And they can work on our behalf because we are heirs of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight, I hope to give you a somewhat in-depth view of just how important united prayer is. And how important your involvement is. You are important to prayer. You are very important to this body. The word united means made one, being in agreement, harmonious, produced by joint action. Made one, being in agreement. Being in agreement in prayer. You know, the first time I really I was in a prayer meeting and I didn't quite understand it because even though I had accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 12, I got away from him because of some of the things that had occurred in my life. But when I met my husband, Pastor Ed, and we started with the military and we traveled, the first real memory I have of corporate prayer, we were in Maryland in a church. And I didn't quite understand because, you know, at home we were never taught we had to pray or anything like that. So we were in this prayer, and I always knew that when I'm speaking in tongues, I'm talking to God, right? So I used to wonder, they were all, and I'm a quiet person, I'm normally quiet, but they were all just like shouting. They were shouting, and one lady was so vocal, and she was she used her whole body to express her prayer to God. And when we got in the car, I asked my husband, I said, "Is she mad at God? Why is she yelling and screaming at him like that? You know, because I didn't understand. No one had explained, or I had not been taught about united vocal prayer or corporate prayer. But we were in there because we were endeavoring to be get the most out of this church, put our everything into it, so we stuck with it. But as the time went on, I began to understand that what she was doing, she was talking to God, yes, but she was getting stuff done in the spirit. There were the strongholds that needed to be brought down. There were things that needed to change in the city where they were, because they weren't in a good neighborhood. Things had to be changed. Hallelujah. So, and when I got to Rhema, you know, we had exaltation. And it was a period of time where everybody, all the students came together and we exalted God and we praised him. And we had, you could put in a prayer request. And things happened when we prayed together. I mean, people got answers. I remember this one vividly. On the way to school, a couple got into an accident. But because they didn't have witnesses, the other car that actually hit them was trying to sue them. But because of the prayer and exaltation, God turned that situation around, and somebody came forth who had saw it and gave the insurance company all the details about it, which, you know, you're a student at Rhema. You couldn't afford stuff back then because you had to work two jobs in order just to make it through school. So they couldn't afford to have a lawsuit against them. But God turned that situation around, all because the couple came to their company. We were their company. We all believed in the same thing. And we prayed. We prayed together. Did we all say the same words? No, because we were praying in tongues. But by faith, we knew that we were praying for that situation. Now I'm going to give you some biblical examples of united prayer. If you would turn to chapter 1, verse 14 again. And we're going to read that. Hallelujah. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And then I'm going to skip to, I'm not going to go there yet. But they all continue together accord in one prayer. So there's some things that happen when we come together in prayer. First of all, they came together because Jesus had told them to come there and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they were there praying, ready to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you got to be specific about what you're praying for. And when Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one set up on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. So we see the occurrence. After they came together about what they were going to pray about, we see that things began to happen. God showed up. The Holy Spirit showed up, and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. But that you go on and something else more significant, that was significant, but something else significant also happened. The people outside heard them speaking in their own language. And then this opened the door for, I think, Peter to go out and preach to them. And once he preached the word of God to them, what happened? They were all saved, and about 3,000 were added to the church. Church started that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Signs and wonders followed. Hallelujah. And Acts 4, the next example is Acts 4, verse 23 through 30. I think I'm going to have to turn to this one. On being released, they went to their own people and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they lifted their voices in unity to God and prayed, "Lord, you are God, who has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And who by the mouth of your servant David said, 'Why do the nations rage and the people devise vain things?' The kings of the earth came and the rulers were assembled together against the Lord and against his Christ. Indeed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were assembled together against your holy son Jesus, whom you have anointed, to do what your hand and your counsel has foreordained to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with boldness by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be performed in the name of your holy son, Jesus." Now, see, when those... let me give you a little background on that. I forget the two people, but a man had just been healed. A crippled man had just been healed, and they went in the temple, and people got mad at them. So they forbade them to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. But, you know, instead of them writing a newsletter about it or putting on Facebook, "These people just went off on me. Who do they think they are? I can't say what I want to say wherever I want to say it. Isn't this free America?" Well, they didn't do that. They went to their own company, and they began to lift up their voices to God. But, you know, they didn't ask God to take away the persecution. They asked him for something specific. They asked him for boldness to speak the word anyway. For boldness to speak the word. So they came together with their own company. They asked God for something specific. And they asked him for signs and wonders, for healings, for signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Boldness, yes. Now let's look at Acts 16. Verse 25, and you guys all know this. TJ, can you put that up on the screen? Acts 16, oh, it's up there? Okay. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, note, they were praying. You got two right there praying, right? So it's united. They were praying and singing hymns to God. Keep going, T. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the earth were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keepers of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Go to the next one, Tristan. Thank you. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, I didn't exactly find what they were praying about in there, but I can imagine they were probably praying for the people in there, and they were probably praying for themselves. But God showed up. Amen. The foundations of that jail were shaken. They could have got up and left, but they didn't. Paul knew that there was a bigger purpose for him being there, and it was to get that jailer saved and his whole household saved. Hallelujah. So more people could go throughout that region teaching and preaching the word of God. Amen. Amen. And I didn't write this one. Oh, yes, I did. Acts 12:35. This one is with Peter. As you know, during this time, James had been killed, and the king at that time, we wanted to please the Jewish people, so he thought that he was going to, you know, take Peter too. So Peter was in jail, but the church was praying for Peter. The church was praying for Peter. TJ, could you get Acts 12, 3 through 5, please? Three through five, sorry. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. You know, when I read that part right there, I said he had to be between all the men. Was he Arnold Schwarzenegger or somebody that they had to put that many men on him? No, they knew the power that came along with him. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Constant prayer. The people were praying for him. So they were praying probably for him to be released and not be killed like the other pastor was. And something happened. An angel showed up, touched Peter, and the shackles fell off. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But that didn't stop Peter from doing what he was supposed to do. He still went out preaching the gospel. Amen. You know, a lot of times we allow things to stop us from doing what we're supposed to do. A lot of things stop us. I know a lot of things have stopped me before. But sometimes you just got to shake the dust off your foot and just keep on going because God has told you to do a certain thing. Yes. Now I want to give you some modern day examples. Some modern day examples of a corporate prayer meeting. And the same thing is going to happen. God shows up. I mean, you ask for something specific, God shows up and things happen. Hallelujah. Now this was a prayer. We were at a, I don't know if it was the camp meeting or what, but we were at a Mark Hankins meeting. And I guess it was about 2 years ago. And it was one of the pastors was there to preach. But on that day, he was there, but his wife wasn't. That day, we got word that his little three-year-old boy was in the hospital. And they had found leukemia, and I believe they said that the tumor inside of him was the size of a football. And it was a little bitty baby. It's a little bitty baby. And it was the size of a football inside of him. But the mom and the grandmom was texting each other, letting each other know about the situation. And Lynn Hammond always does prayer service during this certain meeting. And they got up and they said the little boy's white blood cell was in the thousands and it needed to come down. So they stopped everything else we were doing and they told us the situation and they said, and this is what we're going to pray about. We need this count, and I believe it was down below 500, right? So we began to pray, and we prayed, and we prayed until we got an answer from God. Hallelujah. That place, you couldn't physically feel it shake, but you knew that the power and the anointing of God was there and that he was working it out on our behalf. And after lunch in our next class, we got the information that his white blood count cell was well below 500. God works miracles when we ask. 300? Okay. Less than 300. But they came to their own company. They came to people who believed like they believed. They opened their hearts up to us. And we lifted up our voices because we had a supply to make. We had a supply to make. Yeah, they probably could have done it alone, but we were there together and we brought a supply where God had to move because the word was brought forth. We claimed things in God's name. We spoke the word of God over that child and things had to happen. Because he said, where two or three touch anything on earth, right? When you come together and touch anything on earth, the Father will do it for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Another example, and this was an example for me. I was, I had had Lauren and Tristan, and I had Monique, but I knew that there was supposed to be another child. And I had been praying to God for this child, and every time the month came and I wasn't pregnant, I would cry. But finally, I got pregnant, and boy, there were so many complications with that. First of all, they didn't know if it was a baby or a tumor. And then because of my husband's job, he was gone, and I couldn't know where he was, you know, because of his status in the military. And so at one point, they told me that I needed to be in the bed. I couldn't do certain things. You got to do it. I said, you got to realize that I've got two little kids at home, and I've got a 12-year-old. I've got to do things. I've got to keep the house running. And they said, okay, I'm going to let you do it. But one day, I started bleeding. And the doctor said it was placenta previa. But I had a friend named Jewel, and she was an ultrasound. She is an ultrasound technician. And she knew by the spirit that something was wrong, and she grabbed two of her friends, and she said, come on, I don't know what it is, but we have to pray. Hallelujah. And as I was laying there on that bed, because at that point I couldn't get up, and when I laid there, my body was laying on the bed, but my spirit was above looking at my body on that bed. And as I began to just look, three hands came up and pulled me back down into my body. And I was able to get up and let my husband know what had happened. And then we went on to the hospital. But because they prayed, that onset of placenta previa never occurred. I never bled again. Praise God. Corporate prayer. We all have our part to do. You know, sometimes we think that it is so insignificant of whether, well, I don't have to go to prayer this time. I'm not working this Sunday, so I don't need to be to prayer for that. But you know what? You do need to be at prayer because God got something specific for you to pray about. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I got one more example, but I'm going to do the conclusion before TJ get ready to play the one with Lynn Hammond. Prayer is who you are, not just something you do. Every believer has the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. When believers come together in corporate prayer, all of their individual anointings mix together to create a fuller measure of the Spirit of God. Each joint makes a supply. You are an important component to this ministry. There are things that you have been put here to do and to pray out. You know, God can send someone else, but as long as you're here, He expects for you to do it. Prayer prepares the way for God to work here in this earth. So right now, we're going to see an example of another modern day praying in tongues, corporate prayer, is Lynn Hammond. She's one of my mentors in prayer. She's a mighty, mighty, mighty prayer warrior. Hallelujah.
Cry, and you say, what shall I cry? And then you begin to proclaim what the voice tells you to proclaim. And as a result of that, you see a highway where obstacles are moved out of the way. Potholes in the road are filled in. Mountains are brought low. Valleys are filled in, and a straight plain is made. And that is exactly what happened with Esther. Even though we cannot see that in the spirit realm, it actually happens through prayer. And that is what happened with Esther, is that though the people praying made a highway for the plans of God to go forth for that whole situation. I have so much in my life looked to that as the work of prayer. That anywhere I go, I don't just believe God for the gifts of the Spirit to operate in my church service, where when you lay hands on people, they're actually healed. But when we pray corporately, I actually believe God for miracles to take place then. And we have seen it in our ministry over and over. I know, let's see when that was. It was right after 9/11, the week after 9/11. And I was scheduled to go and do a conference in another nation. And I won't say the nation because it probably wouldn't be good to, and you'll see why in a minute. And so my husband, we weren't sure I should go. It was the week after. It was flying overseas, and we just had to get clear. So we did get clear, and we both knew that it was the will of God that I go and do this conference. And I did a really stupid thing. I flew, it was about a 14-hour flight, and I scheduled myself to speak the night. The first meeting of the conference was the night I flew in. So I went straight from the airport to the church in my preaching clothes. And so I got up to preach the word. I preached on the authority of the believer. And I didn't sense any powerful anointing, anything that I was speaking on. In fact, there was a man sitting at the back. His chair was turned to the side. He was probably an usher sitting at the back, and he slept my whole message. Praise the Lord. Anyway, and so at the end of my message, I closed my Bible, and we just began to pray. Now, every word that I prayed, every word that I said, and to me, it was tongues. I was praying in tongues. But I believe in vocal miracles. And as I prayed, I didn't understand any of it. Closed my Bible and went to the hotel. The next night, after that, this man came to the front to talk to me after the service. And he flashed his badge and said, "I am with the Central Intelligence Agency of this nation." And he said, "Last night when you started to pray," and incidentally, I then remembered him, he was the man that slept through the message. Anyway, I noticed that as I was praying in other tongues, I noticed that he sat up and he started looking for a pen and a paper he wanted to write. And the whole time that I was praying, he was writing. Okay, so this next night when he flashed his badge, he said, "I am from the Central Intelligence Agency and I am head of Islamic terrorism for this nation." And he said, "The way that I got the job," he said, this has never been a high position until last week when 9/11 was. But now I have come up and I have a key position in this nation, in the CIA of this nation, because of what's happened." And he said, "The reason I got the job was because my parents were missionaries in Pakistan and I could speak Pashto." And so he said, "But last night while you were praying, you began to say the name of a militant camp where Al-Qaeda is raising up children from the ages of 13 to 27. And they're sent to this camp. We have known for years that this camp is in the city, but have never been able to find its location." He said, "Last night, as you were praying in other tongues, you started calling the name of the camp." And so he said, "When I heard you, I woke up and started to listen." And he said, in your praying, you identified the exact location. He said, "We knew the location when you said the name of it. But he said, you identified the very street that it was located on. He said, today we did a sting operation and closed that militant camp in a... Now, hallelujah. This is what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. About removing.
Okay, that's good.
Rooting out.
Hallelujah.
Building.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. See? Things happen. Things happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.